bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Breaking down.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
You show me how to do exactly what you do, how I fell in love with you. You walk into a room and people fall for you, how I wanna be like you.
We're back at Hershey Warner Park and in a very funny and serendipitous opportunity, Patrick Lewis is on hand, Upland Flats Racing, and part of the ownership team on Red Carpet Ready. And so, who needs Rusty?
We need him. he's done an incredible job with her. I walked by and they said Steve Bick's in there, and I was like, well, I'm... Go tell him I'm a co-owner on Red Carpet Ready. Maybe he'll talk to me. So
that is so great. Rusty flew off somewhere, so I got a feeling. I got a feeling he's taking a couple of days off. But he wrote me back. He said I can't come on right now. So this is great, and it's so funny because I was down at Gulfstream with him when she won down there.
The forward gal,
and Rusty had the greatest line before the race. That I never do no good down here. So I never win. and off she wins.
We won that day. Yeah, that was a thrill. Yeah.
So. Talk about the decision making in this.
Yeah, I mean,
turning back.
So just rewinding the tape. I bought in after Bo Bromagen of Ashbrook bought her about a month later, and obviously we you knew Oscar Performance, as we thought, was going to be a turf sire, and because there were not a lot of turf spots, we ran her on dirt, and it was in the slop at Churchill back, I think it was, I want to say like October 29th, and she won by 10 lengths, and it was just, that was wild, so we weren't 100% sure what to expect. Went into the Fern Creek, again, it was just sort of like a, let's see, you know, what distance is going to be the right distance, and is she going to like dirt? It was a drier day, and she won that race, beat Key of Life, who came back and won the Beaumont, so, which super impressive fashion. So, went down there, first graded stakes company, Deeper Waters, and she just dominated. That was just such an incredible race, and she did the same thing she's done, and three of the wins, which is made the big move on the turn, and just closed out in impressive fashion. You know, the one loss being the mile race at Avona Dale, which was sort of to get into the Oaks. And it just, you know, the race didn't go our way. We went out on the rail very fast, 45-1, and just kind of tired late. So we Rusty made the decision to cut back to 7, and here we are.
In some ways, you probably were better off not qualifying for the Oaks.
100%. That's a long trail to get on and to stay on, and it's hard to come back from that, and I think it takes a lot out of the horses, and that was a tough pill for me to swallow, just because, you know, it would go into the Oaks is basically the pinnacle, you know, and so it was tough, but obviously, you know, for a day or two, and then it became very clear we still have this amazing horse, and that was my aftermath when we lost the race. I said we just ran third in a grade two.
Yeah.
And the decision to cut back, we sort of batten down the hatches, and he said, listen, we have a very, very fast filly, if not the fastest filly, so we're going to go see how good she is sprinting, and if that means we have to take on Godzilla, then we have to take on Godzilla. And so Money's Gold, we knew, was pointing to the eight bells. He gave her a little extra time, and we obviously skipped the Beaumont, and went to the eight bells and had to go up against Money's Gold, who had run two over 100 buyers.
And you got a terrific Louis Saez ride, and Louis obviously hooked up with her at the beginning of the three-year-old campaign. On for the forward gal, so exactly, you know, really knows where to push the button, and could not have given her a better ride, and you know the two.
Totally agree. It was insane. I mean, he went head to head with Irad, and he just took it to her on the turn. That was a plan that Rusty and Luis had to come up together with, and. Which would have, if I had heard that, I would have been like, that's crazy, this horse is so fast, but obviously I don't know what the hell I'm doing, these guys do, so that was a thrill. There's a hilarious Twitter video floating around, I think TDN, of us jumping up and down and tackling each other, and we were going crazy. That was just a surreal moment on Oaks Day to win like that.
Well, she's now 4 for 5.
Correct.
And the new pinnacle, the new shiny thing on the hill is obviously the test at Saratoga. Everything points there, and you work back from that.
Yeah, that would be the idea. You know, and again, Rusty, I think, said in an interview afterwards, that's our plan. Let's see if that's her plan. You know, so we got to listen to the horse and make sure that she's sound and good to go. But if she is, we will certainly be there with bells on.
Talk about, we'll merge this conversation, talking to Patrick Lewis, Upland Flats Racing, who came in with Ashbrook on red carpet ready. And this is a all-around nice set of connections. And throw in Heedley Bell and the Mill Ridge team.
And they've been great. They've been super warm and welcoming.
And they got to be delighted to get another graded stake win for Oscar Performance, who's already exceeded expectations on any surface.
100%. Yeah. No. They're we've seen them at I think every race but one, and they've just been great, really warm and welcoming. I'm a newcomer, so this is old hat to Rusty and Bo and the Ashbrook the Bromagen family. But for me, this is all new, and so. I probably ask and say dumb stuff, and them, and along with everybody else, has been nothing but welcoming.
Talk about your operation and the family's involvement, because it's a name that is familiar on the Chase circuit.
Upland Flats Racing. So we named it after we bought a farm during COVID. We called it Upland Flats at the time. I had no idea that we were going to go race horses. So we ended up just naming a stable after the farm for our first jumper that I bought for the Iroquois Steeplechase, which was in 2021. And fast forward to today, I own all or part of 30 horses.
Oh, my God.
About 10 jumpers and 20 on the flat. I think about 8 with Bo Bromagen, 5 on the Naira circuit. They're all with Jamie Begg. All 2-year-olds and some claimers. That we've kind of been running a claiming program, and then a bunch of jumpers and some pieces of other ones. So it kind of got out of hand quick.
I won't say mistake to make. It's an easy problem to have.
Well, I've got my personality type is when things go wrong, instead of abandoning ship, sometimes smart or stupid, I double down. And it's worked. It worked here for sure. Because we've had a tremendous amount of success. We won the eight bells 2 weeks before. I won two featured stake races in jump racing, the Queen's Cup and the Van Cleef, which were big purses. I mean, that was like a $75,000 and a $60,000 purse. So, I mean, that, you know, it's probably in line with the maiden special weight purse on the flat, but for jumps, that's a nice take.
You certainly don't, when it comes to the Chase circuit, it's not, you know, it's not a financially rewarding. I mean, people participate really, you know, looking for the pleasure that comes with wins and competing and, you know, and also the social scene that, you know, that the meets offer, more so than, you know, it's nice to offset some expenses, but
for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's the history of it. Right. But, we certainly don't approach it that way.
No.
We approach it like a business, and it's fun, and my family's involved. I have two boys that are 6 and 4, and they come along, but we want to win races, and we want to make financially sound decisions. So, but it is a different experience. It's less intense. A lot of them, there's not betting. A lot of them, you're in a field, basically, like in somebody's yard. Now, the Iroquois track here is one of the nicest, if not the nicest. I'm biased. I'm on the race place, but it does scratch a different itch. And for us, like the Saratoga, you know, jump season is the pinnacle of our season. It's just to get to go there and to win. I won there with Freddie Flincher last year, who Bo Bromagen is actually a co-owner of.
Going back to his flat days, or did he come
the move? After the move, yeah.
Okay.
So we bought him from Sheikh Fahd, from Qatar Racing.
Okay.
For $30,000. And he's won like almost $200,000. He's still a maiden on the flat. So I've been saying to Kerry, he's Kentucky bred. I mean, you know, he's been going up and down hills. Kentucky Downs sounds awfully appealing for early September.
Well, and he's a horse that Brendan Walsh trained.
Yes, that's right.
And he was a horse that certainly came close to winning. I mean, he has run fast enough to win races.
Correct. Yeah, and he kind of found his second gear, or his fastest gear over jumps. I mean, and you can see what he does. I mean, he accelerates into the close. He won a Queen's Cup by, I don't know what they say there, at least 10.
14?
14 lengths, yeah. And he did the same thing. And most of his other wins, he's kind of accelerating at the end. His only bounce, or not even a bounce, he came in second by a nose in the Novice Stakes last year at Saratoga.
In the Walsh.
And it had gotten rained out the night before, or the week before. I was at Hamlet and Ghost with Andy Serling, and he said, you're going to be off the turf tomorrow. I'm like, no way, it's not even raining. He's like, you're going to be off the turf, because it was Travers weekend. And it did go off the turf. The race got canceled, and I couldn't make it back for this one. So I've only been there to see him win. I've never seen him lose.
Not a bad. That's not a bad. I wish I could say that. I haven't seen. Unbelievable how tough that is. Kerry Breon training.
Yep.
All or most?
She's got most. Ricky Hendricks has two. I actually have a win with Mr. Connecticut, we claimed, this year.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's a horse, the cause celeb horse.
Correct, the Naira Circuit, yeah. Acacia actually retweeted me when I said that. So that was fun to get him. You know, because we had sort of, you know, flat and jump potential there. He could go back and run in the claiming races if it didn't work out. But he won the first time off the claim for us, so he's been nice.
I see you got a first or two.
Yeah, in the second race, Moonshine Time, an Irish horse by Shalikov, which has been a nice jump sire. I think Sadler Wells, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so he's never gone in a race before. He went in what's a point-to-point, which is basically like a training race.
Right.
And no clue with him. You know, honestly, he was bought to be a really nice type. I mean, some of these Irish point-to-point type horses are quite expensive, can be six figures. And he was. So hopefully, you know, he's nice enough to show that class.
He's a four-year-old, so you got plenty of time with him.
That's
and,
right.
He's got a nice series of works at Fair Hill. The where did you acquire him, privately or at a sale?
It was private. Kerry's got good connections with those Irish point-to-point yards. I believe it was James Doyle and Rob James.
Well, and you know, we obviously we got this Gorsbridge sale coming up at
right.
the end of the month, and we've been featuring you know, the Irish Thoroughbred marketing team the last, you know, 3 weeks or so. Is that a function that you'll go to and
no,
see course?
I won't. I mean, we've kind of got the stables at a mature level for
You're
the
happy
jumps.
With what you got? Or for flat. I mean, these are flat.
I'm sorry.
This is breeze up.
Talking about. Oh,
no, it's a breeze up sale.
No, you know, I'll go to Timonium. I'll
Next
probably
week.
Watch that. I've only known Romero for a short period of time, Restrepo, but he's such a cool guy. And, you know, he bought Mage out of that sale, obviously, last year. And so he will, I'm sure, be up there, and then he'll be up there for the Preakness. So I will probably go to the Breeze Up, the Preakness, and then head back home.
Very nice. It explained to everybody. We talked to Joe Clancy. Sean's going to join us in a little bit. But for the region, for Nashville, what is this event?
It's been for forever the biggest social event of the year. This huge historic event here in terms of the racing, it goes back 75 years, and I see Dwight Hall, the chairman, just walked in. It's just, I think it means more to the city of Nashville as a social event than it does for the horse racing. But for us, it's just the pinnacle.
From everything I can see, and from the way it's been, advertised or merchandised to me from the Clancys and Woody Payne and Bill Gallo, it seems like it's as mature as it is. It seems underknown and under-publicized.
I would say. I think the whole jump circuit, it's a novelty to people. A lot of people don't even know that jump horses are thoroughbreds.
Well, that is always amazing.
So it is. And, to be in Nashville, which is this great booming city, and, it's 40 minutes south of Kentucky Downs. So my dream would be to get jump racing at Kentucky Downs. I love that track. Maybe a fall meet here and a Kentucky Downs kind of 1-2 punch the same weekend would be cool.
Interesting. Because a lot of the circuit, other than the summer on the flat, has a spring event and a fall
correct,
event.
Correct, yeah. And Iroquois doesn't, historically, because of football, which to me is the stupidest reason ever.
Because they're worried about taking away from what? From Tennessee? Or?
I guess. Or the Titans. But, I'm not a Tennessee fan. I'm a Vanderbilt fan. So we're used to
did
losing.
You go to Vanderbilt?
So I did. Yeah. But I don't really root. Football to me is secondary to racing at this point.
family-wise or history? Who introduced it?
I'm looking at my dad. He's sitting outside. They've ridden horses for forever. They were into fox hunting, which did not scratch an itch for me. It was a lot of the grooming and all the mucking of the stalls and the crap you had to do afterwards. I hated. So he took me to a dueling grounds. It's now Kentucky Downs.
Oh, how funny!
Called dueling grounds
when
I was seven. And placed my first bet, and that was it. That was literally it. They ride, and I've been on a horse. I think I went quail hunting once, and I got on one. But other than that, I'm not getting on them. But
that
I love racing.
That's unbelievable. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, anything. How old are you?
39.
All right, so yeah. You're hitting the prime, and you got with that many horses, with 36 horses in training. You breed? You going to breed at all?
It's super appealing to me because the data side of it is really fun, and to do all that. I actually just bought the Alan Porter book, blanking on the name of it, but it just came in the mail actually yesterday. No, down the road that would be a fun thought. Joe Miller, who's my bloodsuck agent, racing manager, is proactively trying to get me to cut horses, not take on new things. He's kind of he's going to put me in conservatorship if I don't stop soon. So, breeding down the road.
You and Britney Spears.
Exactly. Down the road, breeding would be, that's the dream. That would be really cool. So, but right now it's racing and it's going, we've had a hell of a year.
Well, and in terms of a flat horse pulling the train, the engine on the train, red carpet ready. What a fabulous way to, make it through the first third of the year.
Unbelievable. And really my second full year of racing.
That's great.
So, and all credit on that to Bo and Rusty and Bo for, he's been such a fair partner to me from the beginning. I have to find ways to pay for things that he tries to not let me pay, wouldn't let me pay a bloodstock fee, he's such a good person, and he's got obviously a ridiculously keen eye. He bought Concrete Rose and obviously Red Carpet Ready, and the list goes on. So, and then Rusty's the best. I'm a terrible turkey hunter, but I do like it, and Rusty's big into it, so we've been sharing turkey hunting stories lately, which has been fun. He loves it.
Yeah,
he bagged a big one this year, so hopefully maybe next year he can get down to my farm here.
I bagged one with my Impala, a wild turkey actually. Yeah,
for Thanksgiving or
no? For modern art on the highway.
In Tennessee, it's legal to claim and cook roadkill. So
Well,
that's the South for you.
The wild turkeys. I mean, they're like prehistoric out there.
Yeah,
they're just, and
it's crazy.
They got to have a brain the size of a pea.
Yeah, but they. Man, well, then maybe mine is the size of like a lemon pinhead or something, because I can't get them to come down when I hunt for them. It's been hard.
We got a ton of them in upstate New York.
Yeah,
I mean they're. You know, you'll come around a curve, and there's like six of them crossing the street, and I was just kidding. I did not. I came very close, though.
I figured.
And the funniest part is when they flap their wings and they try to scurry away.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because
they don't really fly. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They run. They run fast.
Patrick Lewis, this was tremendous, and good luck this weekend. Get lucky.
Yeah, Freddie be the one to target the fourth race here. Thank you very much. No, it was great to meet you. Big fan, so to be
delighted cool. You came in. This is fabulous, and we'll see you at Saratoga too. And
yep, we'll be there.
Baltimore next week, next weekend.
I will be there.
We'll see you there too.
Yeah,
then
rooting on Romero, rooting on Mage. So
well, some of the obstacles seemingly are coming out. You know, are falling by the wayside.
The seas are parting, just like on
maybe
the Saturday.
Well, and you know, as we discussed a couple different ways, Gustavo Delgado.
Oh yeah,
I mean he's got those Venezuelan triple crowns under his belt, and obviously a guy that you know that trains for stamina, and so there we know where this story goes should be successful, you know, a week from Saturday. But you got a bigger focus straight ahead on Saturday.
Yep. So we hope you enjoy it down here.
Guaranteed. Any recommendations for people coming in? Dining,
in terms of the city?
Dining, music, anything.
I would just go to Lower Broadway. I mean, you know, I think the house band at Roberts is the best. There's a guy named Tim Bolo, who's just a ridiculous singer-songwriter, guitar player. He plays at Roberts every Friday night for sure. So he'll be down there Friday night. We will be down there Friday night. Probably not too late, though, because I've got to wake up. And I'm on the race committee here, so I'll have, I think, some official duties. I'm next to Marianne Bird here, so who runs the show. So I haven't been told yet, but
you'll find out.
I'll have something to do.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
You know, I looked ahead. At the Ryman Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Theater, and there's an act every night.
Oh yeah, legendary place.
Tom Jones Tuesday night in town. I would love to see
that.
Tom
wouldn't
Jones.
Be my cup of tea, but yeah, he's a legend. Yeah,
he's a legend. It's one of those names that you know. I saw Sinatra. I saw Ray Charles. You know those kinds of. I didn't see Fats Domino, who I wanted to see, but he's got to be. I can't imagine how old he.
It's amazing he's still going.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this was a delightful surprise and aside, Patrick Lewis joining us, Upland Flats, and you're going to see him at every single major venue and minor, it appears, the next month and a half, all summer long.
I hope so.
Patrick, thanks a lot. This was great.
Great to meet you.
Thank you. A pleasure. Let me get a picture. Stay there. Hold on. Do you want the headset on or off? What's your preference?
On is fine.
Okay, there you go. One more. There we go. All right, that should be good.
Very cool.
All right, now I'll put it with a picture of red carpet ready.
I love it. Thank you.
Tremendous. Patrick Lewis, everybody. Stu Slagle's going to join us, and we're going to talk to Stu about opening day at tomorrow at Perry Meadows. And I want to slip this in, and then we'll get to Sean Clancy, because he's gonna give me tremendous grief for for claiming that I'm at the Iroquois before he is. Stu Slagle, though, standing by in Altoona, Iowa, as Prairie Meadows kicks off their season. Stu, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How's it going?
Outstanding, and trying to make the rounds as the winter gives way to spring and summer, and you guys are ready to go.
Oh, absolutely. We're busy getting everybody moving in, and we're work's going, and I was I was going to try to come on with you earlier, but I was actually walking the barn area talking to some of the horsemen. So I appreciate you accommodating me coming on a little late. But we're trying to get ready for opening day tomorrow. We have a 80-day meet. It's a mixed meet. We have both thoroughbreds and quarter horses, but the first 20 days are all thoroughbred. On the 21st card, we add in quarter horses. Our normal schedule is going to be Friday through Monday. We run at night and early afternoon. I mean, pardon me, late early evening. So we start at Sunday and Monday. But then we opening week, we're just starting with a 2-day week, Friday and Saturday, and we go all the way through September 30th. It's a great meet. We have a lot of horsemen that are coming back and some new shooters, so it's we're excited.
Let's hit a couple of the highlights too. When's Iowa Derby Day and the Mid-American Festival of Racing?
The Derby is the first weekend in July, and I want to make sure I get the right date because sometimes I don't have the calendar memorized, but it is the festival starts on the 7th, and the Iowa Derby itself is on Saturday, July 8th. On the same day, we'll have the Juvenile Stakes, the Iowa Oaks, and the Cornhusker. And the Cornhusker has been a great quality race over the years. And recently, we had Nick Sko win it. So we do get nice runners that come through here. A couple of years ago, we had Stiletto run on that day, and he's gone on to do great things. And,
yeah,
and we're expecting the same caliber of horses this year.
And the usual Friday night Saturday schedule with the Sailorville and on Friday night and the Philly and Mare race.
Yes, on Friday night we'll have Prairie Gold Lassie, the Sailorville, and the Iowa Sprint and the Iowa Distaff. So it's a nice eight stakes races over those 2 days. It's a great spot on the calendar for us. It's a very popular local event, and we always have. I think we always show people a good time here. Last year, we had Ken McPhee come in and win stakes with a filly named Butterbean, and I chatted with them this winter, and they just had the greatest time when they were out here. And we want people to not only win, but enjoy the experience when they come to run with us.
Well, the Cornhusker and really Prairie Meadows in general inherited the mantle of Mid-American summer racing from Exarban, and Iowa breds. You think about some of the operations. Actually, Stu, when you think about the Albaugh's and Jerry Crawford and Alan Poindexter, I mean, some of racing's real stalwart owners and breeders are based. Maggie as well. We got there is countless. In fact, it seems almost a disproportionate amount of major players in Iowa and based to a degree at Prairie Meadows.
Well, it was a pleasure this last weekend. The Albaugh family stables represented with numerous owners in the Kentucky Derby itself. We saw recently in a post on the internet from Ray Pollock the breeding connections to Jerry Crawford for
Puka.
I'm not sure. I'm gonna Puka. I didn't know how to pronounce her name. The dam of Mage, and his connection with four generations worth of that family. We've had numerous other breeders here over the years. Alan Poindexter is a significant breeder for the Iowa Vet Program. He runs numerous horses here. He's a very competitive presence on our backside. We had from our festival weekend, we sent Eight Life Grand to Saratoga. We've had horses come from here, and go to the Breeders' Cup and do well. I mean, you know, we've had, you know, as the Horse of the Year, Nick's Go came through here, so it is an amazing number of we have an amazing number of connections to quality racing around the country here, and it's fun to be in a smaller venue compared to New York City, but have the same quality of horsemen and horses that we present to the public.
But talk about the backside and the collection of horsemen, and then also the jockey colony. Just looking over the, you know, these first two cards tomorrow and Saturday, and of course the Goldfinch on Saturday with a field of 10. The early season standard for 3-year old fillies going three quarters. Talk a little bit about who's riding and who's going to be sending horses out, and also the betting menu.
The backside here is a great facility. We have approximately 1,300 stalls for racehorses that we split between the two breeds. We have a training track back here, so they can train on the main track or the training track. So during the break of one or the other, there's always a spot for a horse to go to get legged up for the upcoming races. You'll know last year we did very well here with an apprentice did very well here with the standings of doing Kylie Jordan. She went on,
yep,
and had him out in the Breeders' Cup. This year we have three new apprentices. We have Kylie Wellington, different spelling first name, but another young local connected rider making her debut. We also have Teresa Salazar as a new bug rider, and coming from the East Coast, a new bug rider as well, and Javis Edwards. So we're looking forward to letting some young jockeys get a good start in their careers here. On the other end of the spectrum, we have very veteran jockeys who are well-traveled as well. We have Ken Tohill, who's has ridden in numerous parts of the country. Alex Berzer, who's the captain of the jocks room. He does very well. We're near a milestone. Not sure if all your listeners are aware that Cindy Murphy's 7 wins away from her 2,000th win, so we'll be looking forward to celebrating that during the meet. It's a very competitive circuit here, and the new riders and the old riders will lead to some quality racing. In terms of the betting menu, we have pretty much the same betting menu that we had last year. Let me pull up a quick file so I don't misquote what we have. On the opening day, we will have the normal two pick fours. We have the early pick four starting in the first race, late pick four starting in race six. We do have a jackpot pick five that starts in race five. We also have a jackpot super high five on the last race of the card every day. Rolling doubles, rolling pick threes, one play show exact, the Quinella trifecta, superfectas when the field sizes permit. I don't have the takeout numbers in front of me, but we have a relatively low takeout in comparison with the rest of the country, so it is a better friendly location, and hopefully your listeners who haven't played us before will take a look at us. Opening day we have 9 cards. Saturday we have 8, or 9 races of the card and 8. On Saturday, even though we have one less race, the pick four sequence is I believe it's 8x9x10x10.
Yeah.
So it gives people an opportunity to do well. As the meet goes on, the following week we'll go to 4 days a week, and then in the middle of the season, on, let me see which day it is. It's, I can't remember off the top of my head. On June 18th, we'll fold in the quarter horses, and we're going to try to have three quarter horse races on every Sunday and four on Mondays. On days with trials, we might have more. But we're looking forward to doing well. Last year, we had a lot of national attention with one of our two-year-olds. We have
Tyler's Tribe.
Tyler's Tribe. He did well. He'll be taking a break this season, and we'll look forward to him coming back as a four-year-old. But we are also looking forward to the number of two-year-olds starting. Tom Benjamin, our starter, has already let me know that we've had 30 unique two-year-olds go to the gate to start schooling. So I'm not sure when we'll make our first two-year-old race. We're going to try to do one next week. But we'll be running the two-year-old soon, and we have some nice spread horses here. If you look at what we have on the backside, you may even be surprised that we have a Keeneland grad by Mucho Macho Man that's a Nebraska bred. And we've got all kinds of people who want to run here. We got quality bloodlines, so we're looking forward to the babies getting running. And you never know what's gonna come to the gates, but we have nice horsemen and nice horses, and we just can't wait to show the world what we have starting tomorrow night.
Well, the Von Hemels and Lynn Cleberad and Larry Donlin and the everybody that'll come over from Fawner. This looks like you're well positioned, and certainly these opening day cards, nice 7, 8, 9, and 10 horse fields. Really, for the most part. So, Stu, Bobby Newman on the mic?
Bobby is. I haven't seen him as of yet this meet, but I know he's somewhere on plant. But he's a great voice for the track here, great advocate of our program, and a fun guy to be around. So love his race calls, and I'm sure the fans will as well.
A longtime voice of Calder Racecourse and a terrific addition to the signal at Prairie Meadows, Altoona, Iowa, everybody, and the Iowa Festival of Racing, July 7th and 8th, and make sure to peruse the offering and the menu. Stu, safe meet, and good luck to everybody.
Thank you, Steve, and I enjoy the show, and thank you for having me on.
Not at all. We'll check back, and we'll check with John Hernandez, and I don't know if Pavement is going to be touring. I don't know. They've been touring all winter, and so I don't know if Nastanovic is even going to be around in town, but.
I follow them on Twitter, and I've lost track. I don't know if they're still in Australia, if they're somewhere else around. But I will tell you, when you tell someone that the guy who used to make the Morning Line Maker quit to go on tour, they look at you really funny. But to have Bob on tour with Pavement is everybody's living their best life, and he definitely is. And he's a great follow on Twitter, because when he's in Europe, he's they're not performing that day. He's going to the races at various spots, and just seeing pictures from England or France. He's a great fan of the sport, and we're a great fan of his.
Well, it's gonna be unusual to go through a Prairie Meadows season and not check in with Nastanovic, but he and the band have made so many people happy with Pavement getting back together and going out on tour. I mean, sort of an inside baseball band, if there ever was one, and they're out enjoying tour, and I'd like to see him, get him back in the U.S. and see him somewhere along the line, maybe this summer or fall. But I'm glad I brought him up. He was, for years, Nastanovic would be the Prairie Meadows conversationalist and handicapper. But, Stu, I appreciate it. Look forward to a great season, and let me know if there's anything I can pass along.
Will do. All the best.
Stu Slagle, everybody. Also a good follow on Twitter, speaking of Twitter. Let's get to our visit with Sean Clancy, and this should be entertaining, just because he's sure to give me the business. I'm here, and you're not.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You're something else. You finally get the 40 years ahead of you at Nashville.
How many Iroquois did you win?
39. 39 years. I'm 39 years ahead of you. I had my brother on there earlier. He was there in 78, I think. So, you know, he's got you by 33 or something. I don't know how good my math is.
Well, every journey starts with one step. So this is... My
now you sound like a pastor or something.
Well, that would be a sight to behold. What Dwight Hall's going to join us later and tell us, you know, a lot of, I think, about the history here. But what about for you? How many Iroquois, and you're going to try to win one for River Dee on Saturday?
Yeah, I'd love to. I was there in 84. I was there to ride a pony, race pony named Red Raven. They had the large pony race in Nashville in 1984, and I was on a little thoroughbred twin. We walked in the paddock. I was not only the only jockey in silks, but I was the only rider riding English. The rest were all in Western saddles and cowboy hats and chaps and velour shirts. And so I felt completely out of place in my little, you know, jockey costume. And my father, he looked around and thought that it looked dangerous. So he said he got a friend of his to give me a leg up, and he went to the start to help me out of the start. And so I got Red Raven down to the start, and my father got me sent on my way. Perfect start. I stole the start, had the inside, they passed me, went up the rail, won the race, and I came back, and my father was leaning against the post and rail fence, which was kind of the inside rail. He was all bent over and hunched over and looked terrible. And I was like, God, what is going on? And Nina Strawbridge, who's my dad, worked for George Strawbridge, Augustine Stable. Nina Strawbridge was there, and she said, look what you did to your dad. Look what your pony did to your dad. And I thought, God, Reb was, you know, he was rooting a little at the start, but he was too bad. And my father said it wasn't Red Raven. It was somebody behind you. And he turned around, and his shirt was ripped, and he was all busted up. And a little girl named Angelica Fisher had run over my father. He got me a great start. And Angelica Fisher ran my dad over on her Western quarter horse and busted his collarbone and ribs. And he was it's not funny. He was completely busted up. So anyway, they gave me a check for $500 in the winner's circle and a silver bowl. And that was my first time to Iroquois.
How about that?
How about that?
That is tremendous. That is great.
Yep. So that's, we were there, and Dad used to bring, Dad won the Iroquois with Oh What a Chief and George Strawbridge. He won it in 78 and 79, I think. And then I was out there with Red Raven. Dad had a horse Go Gong running in the race. A couple years later, I went out with him. And and then I rode there every year. Well, it was amateur for a long time, so I didn't ride there the first couple of years, but then was able to win the Iroquois, I think, in 96 maybe, and again on Two Ridley for Jack Fisher, and again on Pinky Swear for Charlie Fenwick. Maybe that might have been 99, maybe 96 and 99, maybe something like that.
That's a pretty good record.
So that, yeah, it was fun. It was it's a great event. It's a great charitable event. They donate a ton of money to the local Children's Hospital, and it's a complete one-off. It's just an amazing spectacle, beautiful race course, and now it's finally arrived. It's gotten Steve Bick there.
Well, Joe kind of gave a little bit of a background on the course, and Marion gave me a map of the oval, and it has a long, it's got a long backstretch and a long front stretch, but then there's the big hill, Heartbreak Hill. What's it like to ride here, and you know, what kind of horse wins here?
So it's the Belmont Park of steeplechase courses.
Wow.
Exactly a mile and a half around. So,
how about that?
Iroquois is two full circuits. It takes a really strong-willed horse that, you know, can handle it. It's got a big long uphill finish. If you look at the backside, it starts climbing about halfway up the backside, and it's deceiving because it's really not that steep, but it's a long, slow, gradual climb, and it finds a lot of horses out. It just really separates them. The Iroquois itself, it's usually a wide margin type race. There's been a couple close ones. I won a photo on Pinky Swear, and I actually won by half length on Two Ridley, and I lost it by head one day on Avanico. But a lot of times it just takes, you know, horse just can power up that hill and stay. You have to have speed because they're good races, and you have to have enough speed, but then also enough stamina to get up the hill. It takes a special horse. It's the only 3-mile hurdle stake we have in this country, and it's a little like the Belmont Stakes. You know, it's just a kind of a one off, and takes a special horse to be able to win it.
I love that, and I love the analogy. It also, we had a surprise visit from Patrick Lewis, Upland Flats Racing, and got a little bit of the social aspect here as well, and how important it is essentially to, you know, to Nashville, the community.
Yeah, it's a great local event. I mean, that's what the one thing about steeplechasing in this country. Well, even in Europe and other places, it is a local event. It's when I was riding, I would have people say to me, "Hey, do you ride? You ride at the Hunt?" And I was like, "Which Hunt?" They're like, the Hunt, and you'd have to kind of ask them, figure out where which race meet they were talking about. A lot of times, it's Red Bank, New Jersey, but those people would go to one race meet a year, and that would be their local race meet. And so Nashville is very similar to that. I mean, if you run into somebody in Nashville or somebody's been through Nashville, they will ask you, "Oh, you ride the Iroquois," because that's the one race meet they know. So it's just a beautiful day out. It's a picturesque course, natural amphitheater. You can see every jump, every step of it, stand up on the hillside, and you see everything. It just unfolds right in front of you. It's a really, it's like that old cliche, God looked around and decided this is where a race course should be. He really did there, because it's just a beautiful, beautiful venue and a fair race course, demanding race course. I mean, you need to take a good horse out there to win it, but it's just a special place.
Well, and you're bringing quite a few. Talk about your chances, and let's start with the feature. And here's City Dreamer coming out of the Van Cleef. Scorpion's Revenge. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ahead of you.
I mean, City Dreamer's up against him. He's just, he's a lovely old horse. There's not a lot of places for him these days. He's, he ran at Foxfield Ranch. That was his first start of the year. And, there's not really much for him. So we decided to bring him here. He's won over the course. He won the Novice Stake there. He shows up every time. He's missed three checks total for River D, once when his saddle slipped, once when he went off course, and one kind of inexplicable, kind of dull performance. But cool horse, runs hard every time. It's a big person. We're taking a shot.
What do you make of this field?
Well, I've got some scoops, so I'll break the news here on the radio. So Graham Waters has broken his T5 vertebrae in his back. So he is not riding this weekend. So that changes pretty much everything. They're trying to figure out who will ride Snap Decision. The other rides of his are pretty much covered.
Tom Garner will get on Cool Jet and the Novice, and Jamie Barger ride Queen's Empire and Fitz the Jill, and I think Piccadilly and the Maiden. So that's put a whole, you know, that's put a whole new, you know, wrinkle on the day. Disappointing for Graham, and, you know, it's obviously horse of a lifetime and a race of a lifetime to miss. Heart goes out to him. So that's changed it up, but solid field, you know, snap decisions. You know, he snapped decision for a reason. Temple Guathamy was very good. But it's a tough group. Scaramanga for Willie Mullins is coming over. Willie Mullins wins everything, everywhere. He's a solid horse. I mean, he wouldn't be one of his best horses. He's a little bit more of a handicapper at this stage. He was fourth in the Coral Cup at Cheltenham, which is 2 5/8. But, you know, he slipped down the ladder. He's with Paul Nichols now, Willie Mullins. But, you know, Mullins is he's a genius. He wins everything. I mean, he wins at Cheltenham, Punchdown. He wins at Royal Ascot. He wins everywhere. So, that's an interesting horse for sure. He adds a whole another layer to it. It's another new import, Mortlach, for Willie Dowling. He's come over, first start in this country. Same thing, a little, probably more of a handicap type horse, but he adds some intrigue. You know, then you got the old, you know, the old standby of kind of the grade two type horses in this country. The likes of Ass Paddington, Rhodesian's a lovely old horse, won the Appleton last year, was second, ran hard against Snap Decision at Middleburg. He's, you know, just a solid old horse. No in the Ark, he beat upset Snap Decision in the Lonesome Glory, came back, finished second to Hewick. I mean, he got closer to Hewick than anybody. Nice horse, kind of an overachiever. Doesn't run very often, but when he does, he's very live, very strong. Small-time trainer Todd McKenna, which is a cool story. So it's a solid race. Level weight, Snap Decision. You know, that was a handicap in the Temple Guathamy. Gave a lot of weight away that day. Gave 18 pounds to Rhodesian. Meets more level weights Saturday. So solid race. It'll be, you know, you know, it's good. There's at least eight. Sometimes you'll get a shorter field in this race because of the 3 miles, because of the end of the spring. But it's a deep competitive group.
Well, and you've got a deep competitive cast that you're bringing. Queen's Empire for the Timber race. You got Fitz the Jill in the Filly and Mare race, the sixth. Cool Jet in that Green Pastures. I mean, you emptied the barn.
I entered seven and run six. You know, they're all, I wouldn't say there's, probably none of them are favored, but they're all solid. Cool Jet ran a good race, the Queen's Cup, finished second to a good horse that he meets again. You know, which is tough. Freddie Flincher, horse, the hero next door, has been, he's undefeated in two starts. Solid horse. He was impressive at Camden, impressive at Middleburg, steps up another notch into the novice division Saturday, but he's good. Proven innocent, had a great year last year. He was a little disappointed probably in his first start at Queen's Cup. Freddie Flincher was awesome at Queen's Cup, and he just drew off and beat us soundly by 14. So that's, you know, it's a tough spot, but, you know, competitive spot. I like Cool Jet, kind of like him coming back in his second start. Fitz the Jill, she broke her maiden at Old Dominion on very firm turf. She's probably not, you know, she's probably not her best on good or soft turf. So I'm kind of, you know, it'll be, looks like they got plenty of rain earlier in the week. So I think that might probably not to her advantage. That's a solid race. No real standout. Right Tempo was good at Middleburg. Fox in the Park was good at Middleburg. I think that's a good race. Molly Fantasy was very good last year. Took on the boys in a tough ratings race at Tryon, but she's solid off her form from last year. Met in Miami. She broke her maiden against the boys at Camden. I thought she was impressive that day. So that's a solid race. And then Queen's Empire, look, I'm taking a shot with him. It's five horse field. The numbers are three. He's a maiden, ran okay at Foxfield, but definitely taking a shot with him. It was mostly just to get a professional rider on him instead of going to another place. Not a lot of places for him. But he's a nice horse, jumped well at Foxfield, but he's probably up against it in a wide open field. And then I run a maiden, staying with Mo, who his first start was only okay at Camden. he's up against it in the maiden. I'm just looking for a solid race from him, get a school around, see what we have there. And then in the opener, Seizing the Dream, he's been really good for River Deep, 2 for 2 for us, 2 for 3 over hurdles. Former Jimmy Toner, Barkley Tag, two of my heroes on the flat. So he's 8 to 1, got a chance in the ratings race, but that race is really deep, tough race.
A nice lineup, and actually you had Waters lined up for Queen's Empire. So
yeah, Graham was meant to ride Queen's Empire and Fitz the Jill, so luckily Jamie Barger's open in those two races, so he'll fill in there.
Nice.
And also luckily Tom Garner wrote Cool Jet, so Tom Garner will get on Cool Jet, so that's okay. I mean, at least they're solid riders who've ridden the horses before, which I think always helps.
Well, the big story is what Jack Fisher has to do with Snap Decision. And now Forrest Boyce did ride him well at Colonial. Maybe Forrest.
I told him I get the trash bag on and the shower cap and the Gore-Tex jacket like I used to, I probably could do 56 by Saturday.
You could make weight? You think so?
Yeah, you know, probably.
I don't think so. I'll take the over.
No, it's a tough spot for everybody. I mean, I'm just disappointed for Graham and in a fall last week, and just he actually rode out this week and thought he was going to be okay, but no, it's disappointing for everybody. You certainly don't like going in a big race with a big question mark. Again, just tough on Graham. You just don't, horses like Snap Decision don't come along very often. This country especially, you don't have that many opportunities to, you know, win grade ones on a good horse. So it's just disappointing for everybody.
Sure.
You know, look, it's life as a jockey. It's tough. You know, it's obviously part of the game. Parker Hendricks, he's out this week. He got a concussion last week. So, you know, it's just part of the game, which is, you know, it's always the tough part of the game. It's just, I just feel for Graham because he's done, his once in a lifetime horse. And it's hard to sit back and watch, but he's going to be fine. It's just time. I think, yeah, I don't know, time frame, I have to talk to him, but he's, I don't think he needs surgery or anything. So in the grand scheme of things, he will be back. And, you know, so that's the good news.
Well, and a unique opportunity, you know, there, how many $200,000 races are on the circuit?
Right, exactly. No, I mean, this is just, it's the spring, you know, it's the spring destination. It's $200,000, grade one on a horse that, you know, won it last year. So it's just, yeah, it's a devastating blow for that that team for sure.
You sitting in at the Grand Ole Opry at all? You're going to do a set maybe?
I was laughing, you know, my father, my dad was just an absolute born horse trainer, so we didn't do a lot of social things, but I remember going out there in 84, and he got tickets to the Grand Ole Opry, and my father and I went to the Grand Ole Opry, and we heard Boxcar Willie.
Oh, my God.
And Roy Acuff, maybe?
Oh, my God.
Right?
Roy Acuff. Forget Boxcar Willie.
There.
Roy Acuff is a legend.
I'm pretty sure it was those two and, you know, some others. And and then I'll never forget, he took me to a restaurant called Darrell's, which I thought was amazing. And then he took me to a place that, as a 14-year-old kid, I just thought it was the coolest place I'd ever been to. It was a place called Cracker Barrel. And I don't think I've been in a Cracker Barrel since. But when I was 14, Dad and I had breakfast at the Cracker Barrel, and we just thought that was that. I just thought that was about as cool a place that I ever walked into.
I love that. I'm blown away by Roy Acuff. I mean, that is very cool. Maybe, and actually, 84. There might have been some Minnie Pearl going on at Opry.
I don't remember her being there, but I mean, that was her scene for sure. But yeah, I was so amazed when my dad, you know, we went and we went to the Grand Ole Opry. I was so impressed that, like, he took me to the Grand Ole Opry. It was just brilliant.
I love it. Well, Sean, don't worry. I got everything all cleared up for you here. I you know.
That's good. That's why I sent you early. Once you were there, I knew I didn't have to come in until Friday.
What? Let me get your Derby impressions while I got you.
That was an interesting race. I mean, you know, it's just one of those that it's what the Derby's about. You know, you never know which horses are going to step up on that day and which horses are going to regress. And Mage was very good. I mean, you know, you never know. You know, he's going forward. You weren't sure if he was going to regress or go forward. He went forward. Great ride by Castellano. I was psyched for him. I mean, just a quintessential professional. Basically, probably won every race he ever wanted to win except for the Derby. So I thought that was special. Yeah, it was good. You know, I'm glad it went incident free. Well, the race went incident free. I know everything beforehand was not incident free, which that was disconcerting, disappointing, frustrating for our sport. But on the day, you know, it was a solid race. I was able to watch it here after going to the Virginia Gold Cup, and we watched it on TV. And you know, I was just happy for Javier to get his Derby.
Any input on the aftermath, including this latest sets of controversy, as it were, in terms of the vet list, and there's the hearing today that's been put off for months on end. I mean, everybody around the racing circuit in New York had heard that, you know, there was a pending and you know, ultimately there would be a positive call on, you know, Banamine, essentially. You know, but there's due process, and there's the whole systematic element of how the stuff gets put through the system. And so, you know, the way it came to light, John, I kind of said my piece yesterday. I mean, it's clear that the people involved with this story were hoping that Forte would win, so that they then could smear the industry and create havoc.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's disappointing how it all came down. I don't know enough about the details as far as the legality or any other thing, but it's so disappointing for our sport. I just know, you know, we went to a little party here, some friends of Miles from his school that don't know anything about racing, and went to it that's what everybody wanted to know about, you know, what's going on with the horses dying, what's going on with the suspended trainer, what's going on with what happened here, what happened there. And I find it so hard to defend our sport. And I try to explain, look, the sport's safer than it's ever been. The numbers prove that. But it's hard as these negative headlines just keep coming out, and the way we handle them, and the way that was before all of this with Forte, that, you know, it's just hard to be involved in a sport that you love, you respect, and you want to see do well, that keeps suffering from its own mishandling of situations. I just find that so frustrating.
No, I get it. Well put. Sean Clancy, we will, we're going to see you, when we see you. Is there a soiree? Is there a Friday night gathering?
Friday night soiree. I'm sure I'll see you there, and make sure you're there. And we're looking forward to the weekend. It'll be a fun weekend. Hopefully everybody gets there and everybody comes out safe, and you know, it's good competitive racing, and we can celebrate our sport on one of the, you know, the most quintessential racetracks, race courses that we have in this country. Hopefully it's a big celebration for our sport.
By Sean Clancy on Twitter. This is horseracing.com, and we are now within eyesight of Saratoga Special Time. You can see it looming on the horizon.
It's getting there. It's getting there, right? Looking forward to it. It's and this is the time of year, Triple Crown, Iroquois. That's when it starts. That's when it changes. As soon as you get through that, and all eyes, all everything goes to looks forward to Saratoga. So yes, it's looming large.
Sean Clancy, everybody, we'll see Sean and spend part of the weekend rooting home the River D's, and good trips and get lucky. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Steve, for everything you do, and I'm glad you're out there.
It was you putting the spurs to me that got me here.
That's good. Hey, man, I'm glad I have some influence in the world.
Right? It's going to be hard not to make this a regular thing now because, frankly, staying in Louisville Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was very pleasant and refreshing. To have the conversation we had with Ramiro on Monday and Phil Bauer, that was fabulous. His win was one of the best of the weekend as well. So I think I've got a new Derby Iroquois Preakness, pick three.
That's good. There's a triple crown for you, right?
Exactly. All right, Sean. Safe travels.
We'll see you out there.
You got it. Sean Clancy, everybody. Casey, I know we're 15 in, but let's take the break so that I can reset here. And we'll come back. We got 45 minutes. Going to have the conversation with Jeff Franklin. We'll do our win using Thorgraph. All right. And Dwight Hall is going to be here in a little bit, 15, 20 minutes. And we'll spend part of the last half hour this morning here at Percy Warner Park, the Iroquois Steeplechase. And I owe Tony Black. I got to slip Tony in here somehow. All right. Jeff Franklin next. Crafty JF winning with Thorgraph. We'll see how his derby went. And we'll look at the Man of War and the Peter Pan. Yeah. Next at the races. Sirius XM.
It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania.